All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So our series is sponsored by Richard Simon in the memory of his grandmother, Elka Frida Baschano. We hope that the merit of our Talmud Torah and the Shem will have an aliyah. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Joel and Galia Berry in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Joe's father, Yisrael ben Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. We also dedicate our learning and the zechus of the refuah shalema. Ahuva bas tova, a little baby within our community who needs a refuah shalema, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring refuah. All right, so we find ourselves continuing on in Shemona Esrei. Tonight we find ourselves up to the fifth bracha within the Shemona Esrei. Remember again, last week we began the Bakasha section, the section of supplications dealing with the bracha of Ata Chonin La'adam Das, where we asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu for wisdom, and we explained in quite extensive terms why that's the first particular bracha we start with. And so we find ourselves in number one. So in Shemona Esrei it writes, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sara Secha, bring us back, our Father, to your Torah. V'karveinu ma'akeinu la'avodah secha, draw us near to your service. V'achzireinu b'tshuva shelema lifanecha, and lead us back to you in perfect repentance. Baruch ato Hashem harotzeh b'tshuva. Blessed are you, Lord, who desires repentance. Okay, so seems like a very straightforward. First of all, it's interesting in general that we're davening for tshuva. Again, I think one of the things that comes out as we study Shemona Esrei more and more, is that the order and structure of the tefillah does not necessarily go according to the order that we intuitively would have assumed. Just like we spoke about last week, out of all the things that we daven for, I don't think most of us would have put wisdom and knowledge as number one on the list of things to daven for. Here now, number two on the list is tshuva. Again, remember, we haven't spoken about our health yet. We haven't spoken about Parnasa, we haven't spoken about redemption, we haven't spoken about national suffering, individual suffering, none of those things. It's interesting just the priorities that Chazal ultimately creates for us. See, interestingly enough, there's a more fundamental question when it comes to this bracha. What's the more fundamental question? If you take a look at number two, there's an amazing Gemara Maseches Nida. The Gemara writes, the Darish Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Osa Malach HaMemuna Al HaYirayon. There is an angel who's in charge of birth, of pregnancy. You know, this piggybacks on the Gemara that says that there are three keys. That's okay. There are three keys that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps in his own hands that he never goes ahead, delegates, or distributes to another. So one of those keys, the Gemara says, is the key of birth. That ultimately birth is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pregnancy is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls. But the Gemara says something amazing. So there's a Malach who's in charge of pregnancy. Malach is in charge. And what's the Malach's name? Laila Shimo. The Malach's name is Laila. V'notel tipa u'ma'amida lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does this Malach do? When a woman becomes pregnant, or maybe it's even before a woman becomes pregnant, the Malach takes a tipa. Tipa literally means like the drop, the embryo. So the Malach takes the embryo and brings the embryo before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'omer lefanav and says, God, Ribono shel Olam, Tipa zu matei ala. It's an amazing Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Malach brings the Tipa, the little embryo before God. It says, God, what's going to be with this child? What is this child going to become? Gibor or Chalash, is the child going to be strong or weak? Chacham o Tipesh, wise or foolish? Ashir or Ani, o Ani, rich or poor. So it's interesting, by the way, how Chazal understood that there are certain things that are almost predetermined. If I'm a Chacham or Tipesh, some people are born with incredible mental faculties and others are not. I might want to be 6 feet tall, just not going to happen. These are the things that the Ribono Shel Olam ordains. What the Gemara picks up is on a fascinating omission. What's not on the list? Ve'ilu Rasha Otzadik lo kamar. But amazingly enough, out of all the things that the Malach asks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to happen with this tipa, there's one thing the Malach does not ask about. Is the child going to be righteous or is the child going to be wicked? Why doesn't the Malach ask about that? And the Gemara explains, Ked Rabbi Chanina, Da'am Rabbi Chanina, HaKol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Miras Shamayim. So why doesn't the Malach ask whether or not the child is going to be tzaddik or rasha, child's going to be righteous or wicked? Because that's not in the hands of God. The Malach only asks God about those things that God himself controls. But those things that ultimately are under the purview, under the domain of man, that the Malach does not ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I'm going to be a chacham, if I'm going to be a tzaddik, or I'm going to rush, I'm going to be wise, or I'm going to be wicked, that's not up to God, that's up to me. Therefore, the Malach doesn't ask. So the Gemara says, Shene'emar, Va'ato Yisrael, Mahashem Elokecha, Shoel Mi'imach, Kiyim Li'ira. And now the Gemara says, this is the meaning when Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, what does God ask of you, except to go ahead and fear him? So what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, listen, the truth is we control very little in life. The only thing we really control is what? Our level of piety. God controls if I'm going to be rich or I'm going to be poor. God controls if I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to be not so smart. The only real thing I control in this world is if I am a tzaddik or if I am a rasha. Therefore, the Malach does not even take the time to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's going to be with this child, righteous or wicked, because again, that's not up to God. That's up to me. Why am I sharing this Gemara with you? So what's happening in this bracha? If indeed number two is correct, which it's a Gemara, so of course it's correct. It's Chazal's telling us the truth. What happens over here? So Chazal are telling us that when it comes to matters of spirituality, it's not up to God. Everything else in this world is up to God. Chacham, Rasha, excuse me, Chacham, Tipesh, I'm sorry, Gibor, Chalash, Ashir, Ani, all these things are dependent on God. My personal level of piety, spirituality, not dependent on God, dependent on me. And yet, what are we doing in this bracha? Hashivinu avinu l'sorasecha. God, bring us back to your Torah. V'karvenu malkein lava l'secha. Bring us back to your service. Hachzirenu b'tshuva shaleima l'fanecha. Literally, you, God, make us return in tshuva. Baruch atah. So what's happening over here? We have a whole bracha devoted to spirituality. And who is the bracha directed at? God. We're asking God to make us do tshuva. We're asking God to allow us to be pious. But this flies in the face of the Gemara. The Gemara says, that's not God's domain, that's my domain. So therefore, we have to try to understand the bracha on a little bit of a deeper level. Chazal are clearly not contradicting themselves, but rather they must be expressing to us a deeper theme. So we're trying to develop, in Meretz Hashem, time permitting, four different approaches in trying to understand what exactly it is that we are asking this bracha. Because one thing is for sure, what are we not asking for? I know that's an open-ended question. What are we not asking for? We're not asking God to do our spiritual heavy lifting. That's for sure. We can't actually be asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, please let me do tshuva. What do you mean, God, let me do tshuva? Whether I do tshuva, like we just said before, is not dependent on God. So clearly, I'm not asking the Ribono Shel Olam to make me a better person, because that is not up to the Ribono Shel Olam. That is up to me. So how are we to understand this bracha? So let's look at a couple of different approaches. So let's start with the simplest approach. If you look at number three, so the Gemara Maseches Yuma says, Ba'li Taher, if one comes to purify oneself, Misayin Oso. Misayin Oso literally means we help him along or help her along that process. Meaning, you know, it's actually interesting. You know, this concept first comes up in Chumash is by Paro. So the Torah says, Vaychazek Hashem Eslev Paro, that God hardened Paro's heart, which essentially did what? It removed from Paro any ability to choose. So the Ramban and others asked the simple question, which is that if God removed Paro's free will, then what? Then what shouldn't God be able to do? You can't punish him. Right? If you removed his free will, he has no choice but to do wrong. So you can't punish him for doing wrong when you essentially prevented him from doing that which was right. So the Ramban says, he highlights this idea of Bederech Sha'adam Rotse Lelech Molichin Oso. You know what God does? God is able to see what we really want. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to direct us in that general direction. He sees what we want, and he becomes an enabler for us to actualize our inner desire. Hopefully it's for good, but sometimes it's for negativity. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially allows us, aids us, on whatever path we choose to go. Paro chose to be evil, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivyachol, aided him in that particular journey. So the Gemara says, Bolitair, if someone truly desires a life of purity, Misayon Oso, God helps the individual along that path. What does this mean? Take a look at number four. See, I'm quoting to you again from Rabbi Monk. So Rabbi Monk writes in his parish, he says, we therefore pray that God help us to complete what we began, that our tshuva may be a full and perfect one. V'chzirinu b'tshuva shalema. So what are we saying? What is Rabbi Monk adding over here? You know, we're expressing in this bracha that, yes, God, I recognize that if I want to be a good person, I recognize that if I want to lead a good life, I recognize that if I want to do tshuva, who is that dependent on? Who is it dependent on? Me. But you know what the great reality of the human condition is? We've spoken about this many times. I control the process. But what don't I control? The outcome. I don't control the results. This is the synergistic partnership between man and God. I take responsibility for the process, but Ribono Shel Olam, I ask you to help me actualize the results. And says Rabbi Monk, that's what this bracha is. Hashivinu avinu l'sarasecha, v'karbinu makir l'avadasecha. God, I'm not placing the responsibility of my tshuva on you. I have to do my part. So what am I asking for? I'm asking that after I do my part, after I put in my effort, what am I asking you for, God? What am I asking you for? Help me actualize the results. Because only you, Ribono Shel Olam, could bring the results to fruition. I'm going to do the process. But so again, the bracha almost picks up mid-process. We're assuming now I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've initiated my process of repentance. And again, one thing we're not going to spend time on tonight is discussing what tshuva really is. Because that's a shir by itself. And the truth is we spend extensive time doing that over Yamim Noraim. So right now, we'll presuppose that we all are familiar with the process of tshuva. So I've done my part. I've initiated the process. Now, God, here's what I need you to do. V'karbin makil avaseh v'chzureinu b'teshuva shelema lefanecha. You could even look at the interesting word. It doesn't say v'chzureinu b'teshuva. It doesn't just say literally lead us back in repentance, b'tshuva shalema. What's tshuva shalema? Tshuva shalema is, allow me to actualize the results. Ribono shel olam, I have engaged the process. I now need your divine assistance to help the results materialize. If you take a look at number five, this is from the Sefer Baruch Shem, I've quoted from the last couple of weeks. So this is again, the Sefer Baruch Shem, the author of the Torah to me, my son of the Aruch HaShulchan. So he writes over the following, V'ulai ha-kavona api ma shebe'aro b'yuma, ha-bolitar m'sayilo min ha-shamayim. So he quotes over here the same Gemara that we quoted in number three. Va'al ze mevakshim, what are we asking for? Ki ka'asher yis'oru atzman l'tshuva, yisayum baze min ha-shamayim. That ultimately, when I yis'oru, when I awaken myself to do tshuva, I'm asking for divine assistance. Tell me along this process. Umiduyak halachshon v'chzirenu b'tshuva shalima. Kilomar, ki ikir ha-tshuva novi ma'atzmenu. I have to begin the process of repentance. I must begin the process of tshuva. That must begin within me. Umin ha-shamayim yisayunu l'tshuva shalima. But what does God help me with? God helps me make this process complete. Kimavur lemala habalatar misayno. So in this first approach, this bracha does not contradict the Gemara at all. I am not asking God to do the heavy lifting. I'm not asking God to do my tshuva for me. I'm not asking God to make me a better person and I'm not going to lift a finger. I'm going to do everything I need to do to live in a state of tshuva, to make amends to that Kodesh Baruch Hu, to rectify and to right my wrongs. But in this bracha, what am I recognizing? I am recognizing that I can't do it myself. Remember, we've spoken about throughout all of our shiurim on Shmona Esrei that a major dynamic of Shmona Esrei is the expression of vulnerability and dependence. You know, this is the great catch-22 for man. Because on one hand, we really need God. But what don't we like to acknowledge? that we really need God. Because we like to think that we're self-dependent. We like to think that we're self-reliant. We like to think that we have all the power to make things happen on our own. And even though we say it's all in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, it's very easy to say it. It's another thing ultimately to believe it. So a big part of Shmona Esrei is a cultivation of a mindset of dependence and reliance. Now again, remember, but here's the fine balance in Judaism, because often people take this idea of dependence and self-reliance, and what do they do with it? They think that it frees them from all personal responsibility. So it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what do I have to try? It's in God's hands anyway. So remember, this is where we come to this very fine dance in Judaism, which is that the results are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, but the process is absolutely in mine. So it's coming out according to this first approach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that I have to take responsibility for the process of tshuva. But for the results of my process to be actualized, Ribono Shel Olam, that I need you for. And that's really encapsulated in that last phrase before the concluding bracha. V'achzireinu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. I can do tshuva, but in order for it to be shleima, I could do the process. But in order for the process to yield results, that has to be lefanecha. That requires you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here lies the beautiful synergistic partnership between man and God. Man takes responsibility for the process, but recognizes that he can't necessarily control the outcome. And that's where he partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God doesn't want responsibility for the process, because he puts responsibility for the process on us. But he can and is willing to control the outcome as long as we do our part with the process. So that's our first approach. Take a look at number six. So here is another beautiful insight. Rabbi Sachs, in his commentary on the Siddur, writes the following. Blessing, number five, repentance, tshuva. Knowledge and understanding allow us to see where we have drifted from the right path of life. So we ask God to help us find the way back to repentance. Now, this is very interesting. Now, where does Rabbi Sachs get this, that knowledge and understanding? I mean, does the bracha make any mention of knowledge and understanding? No. Oh, good. So listen to this. So what we're going to see as we go through our brachos is that Shmona Esrei is not a collection of independent brachos. Each bracha builds on the next. And what we're going to ultimately see is it's almost like a pyramid structure, that you can't have one bracha without the previous one. So you've already seen in last week's shir that das, without wisdom, without understanding, without priorities, first of all, you don't know what to daven for. You don't have the knowledge and wisdom to even understand the blessings that you have been given. So we realize that the rest of Shmona Esrei doesn't get the supplications. Don't get off the ground without wisdom. So Rabbi Sachs understands that this bracha of tshuva is building on the bracha of atachonin la'adam das. It's building on the bracha of knowledge. So again, now what am I asking for in this bracha? One more time. Knowledge and understanding allow us to see where we have drifted from the right path of life. So we ask God to help us find the way back to repentance. So it says Rabbi Sachs, see what happens over here? In the previous bracha, I said, Atachonin la'adam das, blessing granted. I now have wisdom. What's the first thing I realize now that I have newfound wisdom? That I have strayed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I've drifted. I've drifted. And by the way, you have to understand something. Why?
Why have I drifted necessarily now that I have wisdom?
No. I realize I have drifted now that I have wisdom. I didn't drift as a result of wisdom. There's a recognition now that I've drifted. And I want to explain something. Drifting from God could take a number of different forms. So, okay, of course, if a person engages in sinful behavior, that's not a drift. That's not a drift. That's an active separation. But more often than not, we drift away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of relationship apathy. The truth is, it's no different if you think about it in the context of a human relationship. So what happens? A person could be in a marriage. And then what happens? A person chooses, and people get busy, and they don't work on their relationship. They don't invest time and effort and koach and love. So what happens? You wake up one day, and the truth is, I'm not out of love per se, but we've kind of drifted apart a little bit. We're not the same couple we once were. It's true in marriage. It's true with friends. So very often that's what happens with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not that we do anything to actively walk away or drift away from God. It's more just we neglect the relationship a little bit. We just really don't put that much time and that much effort into it. And any life relationship into which you don't put time and effort, by definition, decays. So what happens over here, says Rabbi Sacks, is Atachonin la'adam das. Now that I have this wisdom, I realize, my gosh, I have drifted away from you, Ribono Shel Olam. Not because of any active desire to walk away, not even because of any specific sinful behavior. It's just I've fallen into my routine, I get busy, and now I wake up one day and I'm over here and you're over here, there, and I don't even know how we drifted apart. So what do I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for now? So Rabbi Sacks suggests is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me find the way back. And here's what's very interesting. When you're in a relationship and you drift apart from your relationship partner, one thing is clear, and that is no one party could bridge the gap. You need both people in the relationship to make an active decision to come back together. So says Rabbi Sacks, what we're saying in this bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've drifted, and now at least I'm wise enough to realize that I've drifted. I take responsibility for having drifted, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I also know that I need your help to bridge the gap. I need your help to somehow reignite that passion, reignite that closeness. Hashiveinu avinu l'sar secha. Bring me back. Again, God, I'm not suggesting it's all your responsibility. I'm not suggesting that you have to do all of the work. What I am suggesting is that I don't think I can bridge this gap without you. So go on to number seven. So Rabbi Hirsch in his commentary on the Siddur suggests a very similar idea. So again, Rabbi Sacks' whole approach is based on this idea that bracha in number one, Hashivinu Avinu L'Sar Sech, the bracha of Tshuva, is building on the bracha of Atachonin La'adam Das. So now that I have new wisdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize I've drifted and I'm asking for your help to bridge the gap. Look at number seven, right, Rabbi Hirsch. Hashivinu, no one is immune to sin or error. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to stop repeatedly each day to examine carefully all what we have said or done. This is very interesting. So the first thing Rabbi Hirsch writes is that the bracha of Hashivinu Avinu L'Sar Secha, the bracha of Tshuva, is a bracha of self-check. Self-check. Remember again, you'll see that there are a number of dominant themes that run throughout Shmona Esrei. And one of them, remember, we spoke about this every week. What is Shmona Esrei at its core? At its core is a process of introspection. A process of introspection. And in every single bracha, in addition to what the thing that we're asking for, is also an opportunity for introspection. So what's the introspection? Rabbi says, Rav Hirsch, we all do things wrong. It's inevitable. It's the nature of the human condition. We make mistakes. Hashiveinu avinu l'sar secha is the time where we force ourselves to acknowledge that I've done things wrong. But it's not just enough to say I've done things wrong. What do I have to do? I have to identify what I've done wrong. So what Rabbi Hirsch is suggesting is something amazing. Hashiveinu avinu l'sar secha, this bracha of tshuva, is the bracha of cheshbon ha-nefesh. It is the bracha of contemplation and introspection. It is the bracha where I have to take spiritual stock of what I've done and what I haven't done. He says, therefore, it is incumbent upon us to stop repeatedly each day to examine carefully all we have said or done. So by the way, this is also very dramatic because how often are we doing this cheshbon ha-nefesh? Three times a day, which is pretty amazing. So three times a day, this cheshbon ha-nefesh means, again, contemplation, taking spiritual stock of where I'm holding. So if I say, Hashivinu avinu l'sar secha, bring me back automatically infers that what? That I've strayed. V'karveinu ma'akinu l'avada secha, bring me back to your avoda. We'll discuss what avoda means. If you have to bring me close, that means what? That I'm far. V'achzireinu b'tshuva shalema lefanecha. Bring me back in complete tshuva. That implies what? That I have to do tshuva, which means I've done. So this whole bracha, says Rav Hirsch, is to spark the process of cheshbon ha-nefesh, to spark the process of contemplation. Because too often we go through life, again, remember, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. God doesn't expect us to not to sin. God doesn't expect us to be angelic. What God just expects us is to be on top of ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants us to take responsibility for the things we do, the things we say, the people we become. If we make a mistake, all God asks of us is to correct it and try not to repeat the same mistake again. But the only way we can do that is to really have self-awareness. And says Rav Hirsch, that's what this is. This is self-awareness about sinful activity. He goes on, and if we should find that we have strayed from the right path by transgressing God's law, or that through the omission or neglect we have failed to progress in perfecting ourselves for the fulfillment of our duty to God, then we must seek out again the path of the law and return to it, and resume our progress on the road leading to ever more faithful service. Therefore, we seek divine aid both for our return to God and our progress toward Him. So Rav Hirsch says something amazing. What we're essentially asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the following. You know, the beautiful part about Judaism is the one thing that Judaism has no patience for, that God has no patience for, is self-pity. Self-pity. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't really like stomach self-pity. Don't sit around feeling bad for yourself. You make a mistake, we all do, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and move on. And try to put things back together. Says Rav Hirsch, that's what's happening over here. So I begin this bracha. Hashiveinu, bring me back. So remember, part one is what it's supposed to spark according to Rav Hirsch, a process of introspection. I'm supposed to look inward. So what's the problem? What happens if when I look inward, I find a lot of spiritual dirty laundry? What happens if when I look inward, I see many things are in a state of disrepair? So what's the Jew's reaction when the Jew finds disrepair? No problem. What do we say next? Not no problem. What do we say next in the bracha? God, help me fix this. Give me the knowledge. Give me the wisdom. Help me fix this problem. I'm not going to sit here and cry about it. I'm not going to sit here and lament it. I'm not going to beat myself up over the fact that I did things wrong. That's a reality. But now I've gone from introspection ultimately to action. Help me bridge the gaps. Help me fix that which is wrong. Help me clean that which is sullied and tarnished. So if we bring this both together, Rabbi Sachs and Rabbi Hirsch together say something very beautiful. That the entire point of this bracha, they just phrase it differently, but the entire point of this bracha is introspection. So Rabbi Sachs says, again, now that I have wisdom, I realize that I have the wisdom to realize that I've strayed. According to Rav Hirsch, when I engage in introspection, I realize that I'm not doing a lot of things, something's right in my life, and therefore what? I now become action-driven. Hashiveinu avinu l'sor asecha. Okay, how do I fix this, God? What do I need to do? How could I bridge the gap? How could I pray the relationship? So we go from knowledge, I have wisdom. Wisdom allows me to engage in introspection. Introspection allows me to engage in cheshbon ha-nefesh, taking spiritual inventory. Taking spiritual inventory allows me to identify that which is broken. And once I identify that which is broken, I do what? I get busy fixing it. And now what's interesting about this is the following. If you take a look at number 8, so the Gemara Maseches Ksuva says something beautiful. The Gemara says, Amar Rava. Why is this whole process important? Amar Rava, my time of the Shuchta. So here, the Gemara here is talking about the biblical prohibition for a judge to take a bribe. So why can't the judge take a bribe? You know, there are different types of bribes. There are some bribes where, let's say, two people are in front of the judge. So, you know, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven gives the judge $1,000 as rule in my favor. That's one type of bribe. There's another type of bribe where Reuven gives the judge $1,000 and he says to the judge, you don't have to rule in my favor. I just want you to rule correctly. I just want you to rule justly. So, okay, so he's just telling me. So the Gemara says, how do we know? Why is it? The Torah tells us, judge can't take a bribe. Why is that? What is the Torah concerned about? Listen to this psychology here. Kevan dekabel eshuchta minei. Because once the judge accepts a bribe from one of the litigants, ikrave le daite ligabe. Because then once a judge accepts a bribe from one of the party, the judge feels a closeness to that party, and that party becomes like the judge himself. Once I establish a closeness to an individual, that individual becomes just like a part of me, an extension of me. And people generally cannot see their own deficiencies, faults, and shortcomings. So here the Gemara says, in a legalistic sense, if the judge takes a bribe from Reuven, he creates a closeness with Reuven. Reuven becomes like an extension of himself. And just like the judge probably can't see his own faults or his own shortcomings, so too what? He's not going to be able to see the faults or shortcomings of Reuven. But the Gemara says this elsewhere also. The Gemara says that by Nigoyim, there's a concept of Sara'as. we loosely translate it as leprosy, but it's not really leprosy. Tsaras is a spiritual illness that presents with physical symptoms. So what's the halacha? If I find a white spot on my, find a white spot on my skin, so what do I have to do? I have to go to the kohen, and the kohen has to examine it. What if the kohen gets tsaras? What if the kohen gets tsaras? What happens? So let's say now the kohen, and he's the highest ranking, he's the tsaras expert. So what is it? Could the kohen look at his own tsaras? The answer is no. And the Gemara says, "Ein adam roe nige atzmo." A person can't look at his own afflictions. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that's a very profound statement. Most of us don't see our own afflictions. We see everyone else's afflictions. I can tell anyone and everyone what all of their shortcomings are, what all of their problems are, what all their faults are. Me? I'm okay. I'm doing. Ein adam roe nige atzmo. Most of us are blind to our own imperfections, to our own negoim, to our own afflictions. So what's happening over here is something very, and by the way, that is probably one of the greatest dangers of the human condition. A person could go through life and they never really realize the deficiencies they have. Now, they realize it on some level. Just most of us push it deep down. We choose not to acknowledge it because it's hard to live life always with your imperfections and your shortcomings glaring at you. So most of us suppress it. And when you suppress it enough, you ultimately forget all about it, which is an incredible problem. So says Rabbi Sacks, says Rabbi Hirsch, what's the entire essence of this bracha? This bracha is all about introspection. This bracha is to get us to do cheshbon nefesh, to get us to do spiritual inventory, to look deep within ourselves and to identify the things that we need to fix. So remember, keep in mind what our major guiding light question over here is, because bless you. Because over here, what are we asking? It seems to be we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us do tshuva, when in fact, tshuva is a process that we should be doing ourselves. So in reality now, we're not asking God for anything according to this approach. What we're really trying to do is we're trying to actually trigger a process that gets us to look deep within and identify the things that need to be fixed. And after identify the things that need to be fixed, say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to need your help to bring these changes about, because change is difficult. Addressing my shortcomings is difficult, and I need a divine partner to get the job done. So that's our second approach. Again, that this entire bracha is about cheshbon nefesh, to spark a process of introspection, identify my shortcomings, see my negoim, see my afflictions. Don't get down about it. Don't throw your hands up and give up. I identify the afflictions, and then I get busy trying to fix them. Third approach. Take a look at number 9. Now, what struck me about this bracha was the three-tier structure. Because if you look back at number 1 for just one moment, you'll notice that there are three parts to this bracha, right? There's Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sora Secha. I should have numbered it on here. There's number 1, right? Bring us back, return us back to your Torah, part 1. Number 2, Karveinu Malkinu L'Avodah Secha. Draw us near to your service. And then what? Part 3, V'chzireinu B'tshuva Shalema L'Fanecha. And lead us back in perfect repentance. So the first two items of Hashivinu Avinu L'Sora Secha, bring us back to your Torah, and bring us close to your Avoda, caught my attention. Why? Because it resembles a Mishnah that we have in Maseches Avos. So take a look at number 9, a very well-known Mishnah. Second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And what does the Mishnah say? Shimon HaTzadik Haya Mishiyari Knesset HaGedolah. Shimon HaTzadik was one of the last members of the Great Assembly. Hu Haya Omer, he used to say the following. Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omeid. The world stands on three things. Al HaTorah, V'Al HaAvodah, V'Al Gemilos Chasodim. The world stands on three things. Torah, Avodah. Now Avodah literally translated is what? Service. What kind of service? Now it means prayer, but in its original form, karbono, sacrificial service, and gemilos chasod, and acts of kindness. So let's analyze this for just a moment. Take a look at number 10. What does it mean when we say the world stands on Torah? What does that mean? Let's take a look. Rabbi Lau, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, says something quite beautiful. He says in number 10, HaTorah eino ach v'rak mekor l'knias ha'yiva. So he says the first thing to understand is Torah is not just there for us to acquire knowledge. Torah is not just a body of knowledge. Torah is not just here to teach us how to behave in different circumstances. Limud HaTorah hu erech bifnei atzmo. Learning Torah is an important endeavor on its own. Amud Rishon Mishloshes Ha'amudim Aleim Omid Al Olam. So this is very important. Because you see, when we normally think about Talmud Torah, learning Torah, we usually think about it as a utilitarian process. Why do I learn Torah? Because I need to know what to do. Because Judaism has a lot of details. And in order for me to be a successful Jew, I have to be informed. I have to be knowledgeable. So I need Torah in order to tell me what to do. So that is true. But says Rabbi Lau, there's a deeper concept of Torah. What's the deeper concept of Torah? Limud HaTorah, excuse me. Limud HaTorah Noat Birosh Barishona Liromein Es HaAdam. You know what Torah does more than anything? Torah lifts up the individual. Liyasha es machshavto. It straightens our thoughts. Lahatim lo das al yon mahi. To give us a little taste of the divine. Rak al yidei limud haTorah. Yachol haAdam lahasig b'midas ma es ratzon habore. It's only through Torah that we come to connect and thereby on some level understand God. Ma ratzon habore lahavin mahi tachliso shal olam. It's only through Torah that we begin to see the entire purpose of life, the entire purpose of existence. And it's only through Torah that I can discover what the entire purpose of my life is. What is the Rebbe saying over here? And the truth is, we can all identify with this. You know, when you learn Torah, you engage in the process of Torah, so you feel different. You feel different. Why? Because Torah refines the individual. Yes, Torah gives me knowledge and allows me to know what to do and what not to do. But the process of engaging in Torah is a self-refining process. I am not the same person post-Torah than I am pre-Torah. Why does it work? How does it work? It just does. And that has to do with the fact that the Torah is divine. The Torah is a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And so when I engage in Torah, I'm developing myself in the divine. That's why, again, when we have Torah-centered experiences, we emerge from them. Even if I don't necessarily remember everything, I feel like a different person. When you connect with eternity, when you connect with the divine, that changes who you are. So what Rabbi Lau is suggesting is that Torah is much more than just a body of knowledge. Torah is a process of self-refinement. So perhaps, that's the meaning of this opening phrase. Hashivenu avinu l'sora secha. What does it mean, God? Return us to your Torah. Bring us back to your Torah. What are you asking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Help to refine us as people. You know, it is so easy over time to become a coarse, cynical, jaded individual. And what we constantly have to engage in is the process of self-refinement. We constantly have to identify, this goes back to the previous approach as well, what are the negative things we're carrying around? What are the negative attributes? What are the negative emotions? What are the negative feelings? What are the negative traits? And we have to try to shed them. Why? Because we want to be refined people. Hashivenu avinu l'sora secha. God, I don't just want to be a good Jew. I want to be a refined human being. So Ribono Shel Olam, help me in this process of self-refinement. Look at number 11. What's the second pillar of the world? Avoda. So what? Look at the Rabbeinu Yohanan. Rabbeinu Yohanan says something very beautiful. He says, "Va'ala avoda ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu bachar biYisrael mikol haumos ve'eretz Yisrael mikol haaretzos." Remember, God chose the Jewish people from all the nations. He chose the land of Israel from among all of the lands. Ubachar Yerushalayim mikol eretz Yisrael. He chose Jerusalem as the holiest city within all of Eretz Yisrael. Ubachar miYerushalayim Tzion, and within Yerushalayim Tzion, which is again Har HaBayis. The Temple Mount is the most important. Moshe Nemar, Ki Bachar Hashem B'Tzion Ival Moshe Lo. Ubachar Mikol B'Beis HaBechira B'Shvil HaAvoda. And what does God love more than everything in the Beis HaMikdash? Karbanos, Avoda, sacrificial service. Shekasuv Baratzon Shene'emar Lirtzono L'Tnei Hashem. Hinei Lecha Ki Mipnei HaAvoda Nivra Kol HaOlam Kulo. And here the Rabbi Yonah says something amazing. So again, if you follow this progression, that God chose the Jewish people from among the nations. He chose Eretz Yisrael from among all of the lands. Within the lands, he chose Yerushalayim as the most important place. Within the most important place of Yerushalayim, Tzion Har HaBayis. And within Har HaBayis, what's the most important thing that happens? Karbanos, or Voda. So therefore, it turns out what? Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, that there is nothing more important in the entire world than Avoda. And in fact, the entire world was only created for sacrificial service. So what does that mean? You know, out of all the things that I think most of us have difficulty relating to, is probably sacrificial service. I mean, I can only imagine what it's going to be like for us. Again, you know, it's a fundamental dispute if there are going to be sacrifices in the third temple or not. But can you imagine, third Beis HaMikdash comes, and it's Pesach, and you're going to be schlepping that little sheep with you from wherever you live. I mean, it's going to be, talking about like reality TV. I'm saying like this is mamish, somebody's going to have their camcorder out, and they're going to be really, it's going to, so, and yet, for us, it's us hard for us to relate to it. So what does it mean? That ultimately this is the center. This is the center of the world. This is the most important thing. So remember, what I think what Rabbi Yonah is highlighting over here is that the most important thing that exists in this world is the concept of sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is a bad word in our contemporary societal lexicon. We don't feel that we should have to sacrifice anything. Right? We should be able to have our cake and eat it too. It's not true. Sacrifice is very important. Sacrifice builds character. Because when you sacrifice, what that teaches you is you have to have priorities. You have to make decisions. You have to choose A and be ready to go ahead. And by the way, we sacrifice all the time. We're just not always conscious of it. Whenever you choose one thing, by definition, you're sacrificing. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is, there's nothing that is more important to me than man's ability to sacrifice. Again, whether it means you can't have everything you want in life, you have to choose. You have to have priorities. There's only a finite number of hours in the day. There's only a finite number of emotional, material resources. And a person has to make a decision. What am I going to go for? What is important? What opportunities am I going to seize? And what am I simply going to sacrifice? So the Ribono Shel Olam says there is nothing more important in this world than the concept of karbanos, not necessarily animal sacrifice. Remember, what does animal sacrifice represent? Why is it so important in the world of the Torah? Because your animal is your materialism, right? What happens, you know, you have to understand something. We talk about karbanos. You know how much a cow costs? You know how much a cow costs? A cow, you could Google it, right? But a good like real like cow could cost a couple $1,000s. So can you imagine this? Can you imagine for a moment that you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you bring a cow? So we think, oh, you bring a cow. So imagine now you show up to shul tomorrow and you bring a check for $2,000. And by the way, you have to do that three times. Maybe it's not a bad idea. Right? And remember, three times a year, you have to come to the Beis HaMikdash with your cow, with your karbon. And if you do something wrong, guess what? You have to bring a sheep. You have to understand something, that sacrifices represent a huge financial commitment. So when you brought an animal, remember, think about it, just think about it in terms of money. When you brought an animal, what you were doing is you were taking your hard-earned money and you were giving that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For most people, there is nothing more difficult to part with than their money. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you go ahead and you take that animal that represents your wealth, that represents your labor, that represents the fruits of your labor, and you give that to me, that's amazing. Because what you're saying is you have priorities in life, that you work hard, you earn, you buy, you purchase. But ultimately, all of those material things are not an ends. They're only a means to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've spoken about in previous shiur. We saw that Rav Kook last week, that Deah, according to Rav Kook, means the ability to take all material things and lift them up to some higher spiritual purpose. So says Rabbi Yonah, that's what it means when the world stands on avoda. The world stands on sacrifice. If I don't have the value of sacrifice, and it's so important. Again, I would venture to say it's also one of the most important chinuch lessons that parents, one of the important weren't pedagogical lessons that parents have to teach children. You know, parents like to give their children, but if you're too giving with your children, if you give them everything, you always give in, and you never teach them the concept of sacrifice, they end up being pampered adults. And pampered adults who don't know the lesson of sacrifice don't get anywhere in life because they're just expecting everything to come to them. The notion of sometimes telling your child no, or you can't have that, or you can't, I love you. But there has to be a framework in which you exist is exceptionally important because the world stands on avoda. The world stands on sacrifice. And interestingly, if you look at number 12, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Tanis writes, the Sanya, li'ahavas Hashem alokechem ula'avdo b'chol levavachem u'v'chol nafshechem, Ezohi avoda shehi balev. What does it mean to serve God with my heart? Have omer zot tefila. So it's interesting, by the way, that tefila is called avoda. Tefillah is called service, just like Karbanos. So, of course, on one level, you could say, what do you sacrifice when you daven?
Time.
Right? Remember, for most of us, time is at a significant premium. Time is always at a premium. You know, time is the one thing in life that there's a finite amount of it, and it is a non-renewable resource. You can make more money, right? But you can't make more time. And yet, what do? We sacrifice of our time, which is a very precious commodity, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps we could suggest that using the second phrase over here, V'karvenu malkinu la'avodasecha. What does that mean? Literally, God, bring us close, la'avodasecha, to your service. What does avoda mean? Avoda means sacrifice. What are we going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over here? Help us find the courage to sacrifice. Help us find the courage to give of ourselves. Help us find the courage to give up the things that are holding us back. You know, each and every one of us have like shackles around our ankles, things in life that drag us down. And very often, we allow them to drag us down because we don't have the courage to give them up. Sometimes it's certain pleasures that we enjoy. Sometimes it's certain relationships that are just not good for us. And so we don't have the courage to sacrifice. V'karvenu malkeinu la'avodasecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring me close to your avoda, which means avoda is karban, avoda is sacrifice. God, help me find the courage to sacrifice. Help me give up the things that may be important to me, that may be enjoyable to me, but might not be good for me, might not be necessary for me. Help me find the courage to give up the things that are holding me back from becoming the kind of person I know I'm capable of becoming. So here you see this incredible interplay over here. Said, Hashiveinu avinu l'sorasecha, bring us back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to your Torah. Torah, again, remember, God, help me engage in the process of self-refinement. Help me become a refined individual. V'karvenu malkinu la'avodasecha, bring me close to your avodah. Help me find the courage to sacrifice. Remember, again, these are all processes, by the way, that at the end of the day, I have to do myself. But what I'm highlighting again is my reliance and dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, I'm telling you what I want to do, but I'm also acknowledging and accepting the fact that I can't do it on my own. And finally, come to number 3. Remember, there's one more phrase. What's the one more phrase? V'achzirenu b'tshuva shalema lefanecha. So remember, in this model, v'achzirenu b'tshuva shalema lefanecha. Bring us back to you with complete tshuva. Corresponds to what item in the Mishnah? Gemilas Chasadim, acts of charitable kindness. What's the connection? Take a look at number 13. The Bartanura, one of the commentaries in the Mishnah, writes to find about Gemilas Chasadim. What does it mean, an act of charitable kindness? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk Kitulim says, Olam Chesed Yibana. The world is built on Chesed. Now, it's interesting. So what does it mean? What kind of kindness are we talking about? Gemilas Chasadim, what are examples of kindness? L'sameach chasanim, to literally gladden the heart of a groom and a bride. U'lenachim avelim, to console mourners. U'levaker cholim, and to visit the sick. V'likbor mason, and to bury the dead. U'kiyotse bazeh, and other examples like this. What's the common denominator between getting married, nicho avelos, sickness, and death? And no marriage jokes about this one, right? What's the common denominator among all of these things? These all represent crossroads in life. If you think about it again, when a new couple gets married, it's a very serious juncture. What are they going to do with this new life? What are they going to do with this new opportunity? You know, marriage represents a brand new slate, a brand new beginning. And you have to be so careful with how you use it. Ultimately, what's next? Nachim Avelim. A person endures loss. A chapter of life has now closed out. And again, when that chapter closes, a new one begins. It's a new one that's going to be filled with a lot of pain. A new one that has incredible voids and loss within it. But I have to now figure out what to do with it. Bikur cholim. A person is sick. A person is ill. Again, a person stands at a crossroads. What's going to be? Am I going to live? Or chas v'shalom not? Likbar mesim. Likbar mesim represents the transition where my physical life is over, but my spiritual life now becomes... My fully spiritual life now begins. So what are we saying over here? V'achzirenu b'tshuva shalema lefanecha. You see, what's interesting is the following. In the first two, Hashivenu avinu l'sorasecha, V'karvenu makirun la'avodasecha, are things, I'm asking God for assistance, but what? But I'm still going to do my part. But then we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'achzirenu b'tshuva shalema lefanecha. That's gemilas chasadim. What are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? We're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, life is hard. The world is a difficult place. I am going to go ahead and try my best, but I find myself at a life crossroads. Why do I find myself at a life crossroads? Why? Because every single moment of life is a crossroads. Because every single moment of life, I'm at an intersection where the choices that I make are going to lead me down dramatically different paths. And so what I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your chesed. You know what chesed is? Chesed is somebody's in a compromised situation and I rise to the occasion to help them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in a compromised situation. Why am I in a compromised situation? Because I'm a human being and I'm frail and it's difficult for me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I ask of you? I ask you to be a Baal Chesed. V'achzirenu b'tshuva shelema lifanecha. Bring me back to you. I'm going to try, but even if I can't pull it off, I'm going to ask you to do chesed with me. Why should you do chesed with me? Because I'm at the crossroads. Because I'm at a sensitive juncture. Because now, depending on what I do, will determine the nature and quality and trajectory of my life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, even if I don't do what you need me to do, I'm asking you to be a Baal Chesed. I'm asking you to be the master of charitable kindness and bring me back to you, even if I don't exert the requisite effort to get to you on my own. So we see from this approach something truly beautiful. That what's happening over here, this three-tier model of this bracha corresponds to the three-tier model of the Mishnah. The Karvenu, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sorasecha, God, help us engage in the process of Torah, self-refinement. The Karvenu Malkinu L'Avodasecha, bring us, draw us near to you to your service, avod the sacrifice. Help us find the courage to sacrifice. V'chzirenu b'tshuva shalema lefanecha. Gimilos chasadim. God, please, even if I can't pull off my part, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you to be a Baal Chesed and bring me close to you regardless. And finally, we come to our last approach for this evening. Take a look at number 14. The beautiful Gemara Maseches Brachos, the Gemara says, Hano Bar Yonah, the Hava Bishurusei Dari Meir, the Hava Kamet Sarlei Tuva. There were these Bar Yonah. Bar Yonah are ruffians. There were these ruffians, these no good nicks, who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir, and they made Rabbi Meir's life very difficult. Very difficult. So what happened? The Hava Kaboi Rabbi Meir Rachami Ilayu, Kihei Dalamesu. Rabbi Meir was going to die. Rabbi Meir was going to daven that they should die. So he was going to daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kill these individuals because they were really cruel, mean, and evil individuals. Okay. Amrle Bruria Divisus. Rabbi Meir has a very famous wife by the name of Bruria. So Bruria was a very unique personality on many different levels. So Bruria says to her husband, "My daitech." Very often, as every good wife says to her husband every once in a while, "What are you thinking? What are my daitech? What are you thinking?" Mishum dechsid yitamu chatoim miksiv chotim chatoim ksiv. So Bruria says to us something amazing. She says, listen, you want to go ahead and you want to kill these, you want to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kill these individuals because you think they're such sinners. So what does the pasuk say? Yitamu chatoim min haaretz. What do we ask God? We ask God that literally sin should disappear from the world. We don't say what? We don't say sinners should disappear from the world. Instead, we say sin should disappear from the world. Furthermore, va'od, shafil is safe to the crop. This is Bruria giving her husband Musar. Look at the end of the pasuk. Urishaim od einam. And if the sin disappears, then what? Then there will be no more wicked people. Kevan di'itamu chatoim. Once sin disappears, urishaim od einam, the wicked will no longer be. What was Bruria telling her husband? Bruria was saying, husband, you're wrong about these people. They're not bad. They're just doing bad things. But just because they're doing bad things doesn't make them bad people. So if somehow you were able to purge them of the negativity, at their core, they are good. So what did she tell them to do? Ella, boi rachami ilayu de lahajr b'tshuva. Rabbi Meir, my husband, you know what you should do? Daven for them that they should do tshuva. Daven for them that they should do tshuva. Or rishayim, excuse me, de lahajr b'tshuva, rishayim adam, and you'll see they won't be wicked anymore. Sure enough, boi rachami ilayu, Rabbi Meir listened to his wife. He davened on their behalf, v'hadru b'tshuva. And ultimately, they did tshuva. Now again, how you could daven for someone to do tshuva, not our topic for tonight. Where's their vichim? But the point over here is what? The point of here is coming out of something fascinating, where Bruria understood that apparently Rabbi Meir did not do is, people at their core are good. People at their core are holy. People at their core are special. What ends up happening is we do bad stuff. We do negative things over the course of life. But that doesn't make us into bad people. We're good people who sometimes do negative things. Take a look at number 15. This is from a sefer, Da Es Atzmecha. We learn it here every morning. Fantastic sefer. And the Mechaber talks about over here the following idea. He says, Navidim came. Sheshorish heistaklus shedibarnu betchila. Sha'avodas ha'adim lehistakil al atzmo ki neshama shem lubeshes kabuf. Velo ki gof shevesoch on neshama. Hu shorish kol mibna avodas ha'adim. So here the author explains that in life there are two ways you can view yourself. You can view yourself as a body that houses a soul, or you can view yourself as a soul that is clothed by a body. So lest you think that it's semantics, it's a very important distinction. If I say I'm a body that houses a soul, then what I'm saying is my material physical side is the dominant part of my personality. My spirituality is an add-on. As opposed to if I say I am really a soul that is housed in a body, what I'm saying is my dominant personality is spiritual. I just happen to wear physical material clothing. So look what he writes. He says, Avodas ha'adam. Now, again, obviously, we know which one is correct. We are all souls that are housed in a body. At our core, we are spiritual beings that are cloaked by material clothing. Therefore, Avodas ha'adam. What is the real avoda of man? L'salik es haram mikirbo. So what's our job in life? Our job in life is to remove the layers of impurity and the layers of negativity that very often settle on top of our soul. The Mechaber says something amazing. He says, people go through life and they think that they have to acquire good. We think we have to become good. I have to acquire good behaviors. I have to acquire spirituality. I have to acquire holiness. You don't have to acquire anything. Instead, what do we have to do? Tzorich rak legalos es hatov hatomun b'zochenu. We don't have to acquire anything. You know what we have to do? We just have to uncover the good that exists within. Bless you. All the holiness and all the good that we need, it's there. We don't have to acquire anything. All we have to do is dig down deep. All we have to do is remove the layers that often obscure it. But everything that's good and holy in this world is already within us. Again, this is predicated on this idea that if I believe and I live life with the understanding that I am in my essence a soul that is housed or that is clothed in a body, my ikar, my primary identity is one of holiness. And therefore, again, no need to acquire anything. Just remove the layers and find the holiness that's within. As Hanashama, Rak Legalos, as a Tovatam Bezochinu, as Hanashama, Hatora Shanat, Akadosh Baruch Hu Banu. All I need to do is to discover the beautiful, holy soul that God planted in me, She Etzem Habiyosinu. And it is the essence of our existence. Why is this important? And that's exactly what Bruria was saying. Bruria was saying the same thing to her husband. Rabbi Meir, you're misunderstanding. Yes, they're doing bad stuff, but they're not bad people. Why? Because people are all good. People are all good. Just sometimes we allow layers of impurity and negativity settle upon a holy soul. And the job in life is what? To remove and to peel back all of those layers and to find the good that's within. Why is this important? Because understand what we're looking for over here. The wording of this bracha is so fascinating. Hashiveinu avinu l'sar secha. Return us to your Torah. Bring us close to your avoda. Return us to you in tshuva. You notice the repeated use of the word return. What does return mean? Get back to where I was. You see, we're not just simply saying to God, bring me close to your Torah, or a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to learn your Torah. We're saying, return me. You know what we're acknowledging in this bracha? In this bracha, I'm acknowledging the fact that I, at my core, am a good and holy person. I'm acknowledging the fact that even if I've done bad things, that negativity perhaps sits on top of me, but that negativity does not define me. I may have engaged in negative behaviors, but that's exactly what it is, behaviors. My core identity remains unchanged. My core identity is pure. My core identity is good. My pure identity is holy. And that's what we're enforcing in this bracha. We're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sar Secha. Bring me back because I was there before. Karveinu Makinu Lava L'Secha. Bring me close because, again, once upon a time I was there. Hachzirinu B'tshuva Shalema L'Fanecha. We are reinforcing in this bracha the notion that at our core, we are good. So what's amazing over here, again, just to bring everything together, we essentially have four different approaches as to what we're trying to accomplish in this bracha. Because you understand, we can't just be simply asking God to do tshuva for us. Because as we saw in number two, God doesn't do tshuva for us. The one thing that God leaves in our hands is what? Whether or not we're a tzaddik in Russia. So what are we doing? So again, our first approach tonight, which was the Gemara, Rabbi Monk, and the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar, was ultimately that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to begin the process of coming close, but I realize I can't do it on my own. I control the process, but I don't control the results. I'm going to do whatever is within my power, but Ribono Shel Olam, I'm asking you to exercise your divine abilities to help me actualize my efforts. Second approach was Rabbi Sachs and Rabbi Hirsch, ultimately building on the bracha of Deya and Bina. God, now that I have wisdom, I realize that I have to engage in introspection. When I engage in introspection, I realize the things that are broken. When I realize the things that are broken, I'm not going to sit here and cry about it. Instead, I'm going to take action. I'm going to fix it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need your assistance to help me in this process. The power of this bracha is normally we go through life not recognizing our own shortcomings and faults. This bracha forces us to engage in introspection, forces us to confront our shortcomings, and forces us to actively tackle them and try to solve them. Our third approach, which was based on the Mishnah in Maseches Avos, the three-tier process ultimately of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, corresponds to the three requests within this bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sara Secha, bring us back to your Torah, help us refine ourselves. V'kaveinu Makinu L'Avodah Secha, bring us close to your Avodah, help us find the courage to sacrifice. V'achzireinu B'tshuva Shaleima L'Fanecha, bring us back in complete tshuva, Gemilas Chasadim, God, even if I don't deserve it, even if I didn't earn it, I'm asking to be a Baal Chesed and bring me back. And finally, our fourth approach, that we see these things in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring me back, return me, highlighting the notion that what? That I believe that at my core, I am good. And this is so important because we know so many people go through life with such poor feelings of self, or such a lack of a sense of self. People don't believe in themselves. People don't think they're worth something. People don't believe they're good. People don't believe they're holy. People don't believe they're capable of accomplishing great things. And so Chazal understood that one of the most important things, probably the most important ingredient to successful living, is a healthy sense of self. And in Judaism, a healthy sense of self doesn't just mean I'm an okay person. A healthy sense of self means I'm a magnificent person. I'm a holy person. I may have many layers of impurity that are piled on top of this beautiful neshama, but at the end of the day, all I need to do is remove it, and that holiness, that beauty, that purity, it's all there waiting to be discovered. And I'll just end off with one last point, which is, the beautiful part is, how do we end this bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, harotze b'tshuva. God is the one who desires repentance. What does this mean? You know, one of the beautiful parts in Judaism also is, and this is where Judaism departs from other religions, is we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rooting for us. God doesn't wait for us to mess up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wait for us to make mistakes so he can strike us down. We have no greater advocate in this world than the Ribono Shel Olam. Nobody wants us to be more successful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Baruch Atah Hashem Harotze B'Tshuva. We've described a lot of difficult processes over here. Introspection is not easy. Sacrifice is not easy. Peeling back layers of impurity is not easy. So what inspires me with the confidence to do it? Baruch Atah Hashem Harotze B'Tshuva. The knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be successful. The knowledge that God is always standing by the sidelines of my life, cheering me on and trying to get me to do better and putting his hand behind me, nudging me forward ever so slightly. The knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in my corner, always there for me and always hoping for me to be successful is the greatest source and the greatest root and foundation for Jewish optimism. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Again, just one quick announcement. You'll see on the last page over here, just the schedule for the next couple of weeks. There is a shiur this Wednesday night, and then a mirror session after that is going to be a two-week break. So it's the week leading up to Hanukkah and the week of Hanukkah itself, and then the shiurim themselves will resume, this shiur will resume on, when is it? Monday, December 9th. So again, there's a Wednesday night shiur, and it's a special shiur actually this week on Hanukkah, mirror session Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And then two-week break. Yes, and if anyone needs, there's Maariv right now, 9 o'clock in the basement. Thank you.